Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bullbarch joined alongside Matt Douglas. You've got us until 6 o'clock tonight, and it's time now for us to return to our Lorain County's First Response Series, a project of the Lorain County Addis Board, supported through Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration Award SP080284, First Responders Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act Cooperative Agreement. And today, we're talking about the importance of the role that grandparents play in this entire process, and here to help us explain that, Tammy Heberling is here in studio with us. Tammy, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, let's get into some statistics to show just how big of an effect this whole process has, especially from a grandparent's perspective, and I think locally here too, especially statewide. You threw some numbers at me before, Tammy, and I wanted to kind of give you an opportunity to explain some of those statistics before we get going with some of the questions.
Well, approximately 2.7 million to 3 million children are being raised across the U.S. by grandparents today. Here in Ohio alone, there's somewhere about 40,000 plus grandparents raising their grandchildren or that have raised their grandchildren. In Lorain County alone, last year, 2017, there was 132 reported overdoses. Lorain County is one of the top 10 counties nationwide for drug addiction.
So those are some pretty staggering numbers, no question about that. And, you know, we mentioned we're going to talk about the importance of the role that a grandparent can play in this. As a grandparent, what are some of the first signs that you noticed that something was really kind of not right with your grandchildren?
That when I would go to visit them, they weren't saying as much as they used to. They were like afraid almost to talk to me in the presence of their mom. Their mom was most of the time in bed or on the couch. They looked tired all the time. They were pale. There were just so many things, signs that I would see, but I didn't realize it at that time because I hadn't educated myself on addiction at that point. So then as I would have the kids without their mom there, they would tell about, drug houses that they were left in. My granddaughter would say, "Mama, I tried to find the address of the yellow house in Cleveland that we were left at, but I was afraid you wouldn't be able to find me." Those are the things that really just pulled on my heartstrings that I thought something has to be done.
And if, you know, you're in the position of a grandparent, there are probably a lot of grandparents out there listening right now. I mean, if, you know, you're kind of out there and you suspect that your grandkid just might be in danger, what are some steps that you might be able to take to try and protect them?
One of the first things as a grandparent you can do, If you feel that strongly that something is not right, if you suspect any kind of drug use, any kind of abuse, you can file with the county courthouse for an ETC, which is an emergency temporary custody. You will be very thorough when you're filling out those papers so that you can back up all your statements. You can also contact CPS, which is Children Protective Services, to have them do an investigation. In my particular case, they did get involved, but they made me feel like I was the bad one for trying to protect my grandchildren. You can call the local police station or your sheriff's department and ask for a well care check, and they will go and knock on the door. And of course, if the parent chooses not to answer the door, they can't forcibly check on the grandchildren, but they can do a well care check, it's called. Just whatever you do, don't give up. There are many roadblocks that you'll come across, but these children do not have a voice. And sometimes you are their only voice.
Again, we're being joined here in studio by Tammy Heberling. We're talking about the importance of the role that grandparents play throughout the entire addiction process and how that's going to help in the long term here. And, boy, you know, some interesting stuff there, Tammy, no question about that. And, you know, I want to come back around to your story. I mean, I think it's certainly very important to point out your perspective and your story. So, you know, just to give you an opportunity here to kind of share your story, what really got you involved.
Well, at first in 2015, I filed for an ETC because my grandchildren didn't show up at school for several days, and I had did not know their whereabouts. And here they had been taken out of state and left with a distant relative that they did not know. At that time, I knew nothing really about addiction. And I didn't pursue a lawyer at that time. I just got the ETC, and the kids were safe with us for about 3 months while that initial court hearings were taking place. And like I said, I did not get an attorney, so they went back. They went back home to my daughter. For the first 6 months after that, of course, I was estranged from my grandchildren and that. But then I thought things were getting better. But also at the same time, there were little things I paid attention to. I joined some groups. The Addict Parent United is a phenomenal group to get yourself educated. There's other parents, grandparents going through the same thing. I always say they were kind of my lifesaver back then. And so it's, you have to be educated. Then in 2016, there were issues again. My granddaughter, like I said, she started opening up and telling me that she hadn't been going to school. I was going to her parent-teacher conference because my daughter couldn't make the meetings to get out of bed or whatever the reason. And so I found out that she was being tired at school from her teacher. Apparently, she had told that she was up during the night. They had to go get somebody out of jail. Oh, it was just one sad, sad story after another that this 7-year-old little girl was telling us all about different colored pills. She knew way more than what I even knew about drugs. So then I applied. I got another ETC. At this time, I encouraged her to tell somebody at school, but she was afraid, very afraid that they would tell mommy. And then mommy would be mad at her. So finally one of her doctor's visits, she told the pediatrician, which they automatically have to, are obligated to tell Children Protective Services, and that's how they got involved. It didn't take very long for me to realize that they were not on my side. They thought that I had coached my granddaughter to say the things that she said. They felt that my daughter had no drug problem because she passed all the mouth swabs. But I knew in my heart, I knew my daughter, and I knew that a barely 7-year-old knew far too much, and I wasn't going to quit the fight. Their dad, he even, because he believed that a social worker that with 30 years experience should know the most, and at first he wasn't even on board, But eventually he got on board. He has no addiction issues. And so it took about 3 years, but I can, 2.5 to 3 years, but I can honestly say now that every fight that we went through, every roadblock we went up against, had a good outcome. My grandchildren, instead of when they went to go from our house to their dad's, she was failing second grade. She just got her first honor roll. She has gotten awards for being kind and helping others. She's come a long way, bless her heart, in the past couple years. So all I can say is just there are so many roadblocks, but please, as grandparents, get yourself educated. Seek the free consultations from an attorney. Go to your county, your local county bar association if you don't know what attorney to hire. Seek out different grandparents organizations. There's a real good one, Grandparents' Rights Association of Ohio, that deals with just working and talking with other grandparents that might or may be going through the same issues that you have. They are not attorneys or anything like that, but they may be they will be able to offer their support and let you know what they have personally been up against. And like I said, just there are other organizations out there. If you get online, there's many helpful. If you're looking just for support, there's also groups out there for that. There's many more options than there was in 2015 whenever I first started with this. I just want people to know that these children are so young and they don't have a voice. And sometimes they're so afraid of what will happen or disappointing their parent or their addict parent, because they've kind of taken on the role as being the parent to the younger children, because mommy or daddy might be sleeping or they're not getting fed right. So they have to maybe get the littler siblings a bowl of cereal or something to eat. They just need someone else to speak up for them. And please don't always think if you hit a roadblock with Children Protective Services or somebody doesn't believe you, keep fighting for that child.
Well, very good stuff. A very, very powerful story. No question about that. Tammy, thank you so much for sharing that story and coming in studio with us and offering some advice for those out there that may be in a similar position. Thank you for the time.
Thank you.
All right. Again, that's Tammy Heberling joining us here on our Lorain County Addisford First Response Series. Again, talking about the importance of the role grandparents play. Again, it's all part of Lorain County's First Response Series, a project of the Lorain County Addisford, supported through Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration Award SP080284. First Responders, Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act Cooperative Agreement. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will come back with more after this. Here on AM 930 WEOL.